You may not be in the mood for celebrating on April 15th, but the United States federal income tax is 100 years old. The current income tax was instituted by the passage of the 16th Amendment in 1913, so this spring should roughly mark 100 years of filing tax returns. Yay! Though we now take a federal income tax for granted as a way to raise revenue to keep the federal government going, the United States actually got by without one for almost 150 years. How? Among other things, the federal government raised revenue through other taxes, such as tariffs and excise taxes. Think of states like Texas that don't have an income tax, but fund government through other revenue raisers, a higher sales tax, property taxes, and fees for things like registering a car and incorporating a business. However, one huge expense stretched the federal government pretty thin. War. During the Civil War, the Union was broke and in debt. A temporary income tax was instituted in 1864 and repealed in 1870. Most of the burden of this temporary tax fell on corporations and the very rich. As time went on, however, legislators felt the need for a permanent income tax. In 1894, Congress passed a flat income tax, which was challenged as being unconstitutional as a direct tax that was not apportioned among the states. In 1895, in Pollock v. Farmers Loan and Trust, the Supreme Court agreed and struck down the federal income tax, making a constitutional amendment necessary. So that brings us back to the 16th Amendment and the 1913 tax. The first version of the income tax we know and hate was fairly simple. A rate of 1% of taxable earnings up to $20,000, with the highest rate of 6% for incomes over $5 million. As you can guess, in 1913, this tax did not hit a lot of individuals. In fact, prior to World War II, only 5% of Americans paid federal income tax at all. However, following an expensive First World War and anticipating a buildup to conflict in the Second, Congress passed the Revenue Act of 1934, which turned what was an elite tax into the mass tax that we have today. By the end of World War II, 74% of Americans paid income tax. Were there other options to fund the U.S. government in a growing global economy? Well, in fact, one congressional proposal was a national sales tax. However, President Roosevelt opposed a national sales tax as too regressive, meaning that poorer people felt the tax more than richer folks. A mass income tax with graduated rates was seen as more progressive and more fair. If you, like the rest of us, dread tax day, remember, it could be worse. First of all, in 1934, the highest tax rate was 63% and would grow to 91% by the end of World War II. Also, Section 55B of the 1934 Revenue Act required taxpayers to fill out a pink slip with their returns that listed their names, addresses, gross income, deductions, taxable income, and tax bill. These pink slips would be public records and could even be published in the newspaper. The thought behind this innovation was that it would curb tax cheating by the wealthy and by corporations. However, various citizen groups rallied for its repeal. One fiery argument against the pink slip was that public access to income information would fuel kidnappings for ransom. During the 1930s, a wave of kidnappings had occurred, including the Lindbergh baby kidnapping, leading to a bigger wave of kidnapping fear. This and other arguments led to the swift repeal of the pink slip. Happy taxes! This is Christine Hurt.